This is Rachel Joy Barbeau. As part of the launch for my new book, Relentless Joy, that's due out June 20th, my friends got together and created a book launch team. Y'all, I am so blessed. So very blessed. In that group, they're getting some behind the scenes details from the book, and we've been discussing the book together each week. I wanted to share some of those stories with you. So over the next few weeks, you're going to get bonus podcasts that contain short stories and lessons from our discussions. You're going to hear Natasha Garrett, who's our book launch captain and also serves in I'm Changing the Narrative, and you'll hear from me and maybe some others. I hope this gets you excited about the book. Pre-order details are in the show notes, and I got to tell you, as a first-time published author, pre-orders are everything. Please go grab a copy for you and for others. Love you guys.
I really want to get to chapter 11 because it's my father's table and it's what inspired these Table Talk Thursdays to begin with. And so I want you to share like the significance again of the table and what that means to you and what that means to this chapter.
Woo, y'all. The last chapter was hard, but it's also, again, this is the whole purpose of this book. There's joy even in your heart. There is joy begging to be noticed in your heart. But my father's table, woo, how do I quickly sum this up? All right. There are gifts in your life that you will never see. There are things that you wish in your life that you may never live to see, but somebody, the next generation, will be blessed because of your wants, your gifts, your talents. How do I know this? I know this because my adopted father, who adopted me when I was 18 months old, had a table, and he never got remarried after he and my mom divorced when I was around 8 years old. And he kind of became a little bit hermitish, you know, like kept to himself a lot, and probably never got over my mom, truth be told. She was that kind of amazing. But and he adopted me at 18 months old. And when they got divorced, he was a military man. He was traveling different bases, but he had adopted me and he stayed in my life. Well, I would go down and see him at holidays and spend time with him at Thanksgiving and different holidays. And he always had this big table. And I know in his heart of hearts that he hoped, and when he bought that big table, that he wished and hoped that to have a lot of people around it. But it never happened, y'all. It didn't happen. So my father passed away in 2014. I got that table. And it went into my house in Nashville. And I began to have tea around that table. I have my dad's, by the way, no coincidence, this little teapot. Look at this beautiful. He was a chef and a military man. He was very hard and tough, except when it came to me sometimes. But I was his Ray. And he had no other children besides me. So I'm huge proponent on the power of adoption. So I get his table and I start to have tea around that table. I start to have I start to really feel that table. Christopher and I had our first date at my house at that table, made him his first meal at that table. My little neighbor girl, Tariah, who took her life at 12 years old from bullying, used to color at that table. And so when I moved to Florida, before I was supposed to move to Florida, that table was in this house. And even when I left this house, when I knew I needed to do different and right, that table stayed. And so what I want to say about that table and the inspiration for Table Talk is that table is in my kitchen, y'all. And while my father may have never had a table of people around it, may have never gotten to fill that table, his daughter fills that table with a beautiful blended family. And they're friends and people that love me and love them. And there's love and there's laughter. And I think that in heaven, that makes my papa proud. That even though he did not get what he wanted in his lifetime, what he dreamed for, generationally, somebody did. So I want you to start thinking about your gifts. It's in this chapter, Natasha. I want you to start thinking about your gifts generationally forward. What gift do you have that are either physical gifts or gifts of your ability that you're going to pass down that you maybe want for yourself, but they may not happen for you, Audrey. They may happen for your children's children's children because of your your obedience, your willingness to say yes. Y'all, half of everything that's happened in my life is just me saying, here I am, Lord, send me. I am wholly unprepared. I am unqualified, but I am willing. And that's where almost all, I mean, all the magic has happened in my life. And the crazy things that have happened and the, wow, that happened. And, you know, it's because I've just been willing, Natasha.
Yes. And I want to touch, I definitely don't want to give a spoiler alert. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
But there are, like Rachel mentioned, there's no word for coincidence in the Hebrew language. And so there are some special, special things that happened in this chapter that are just symbols and signs that you don't know until you know. And so please read this chapter because, gosh, it's just crazy how things come together. But one thing I did want to say is, you know, I was just jotting down notes and I wrote down like that table is kind of like a symbol of your dad, and it's how you keep his memory alive and how you honor him. And it's just so amazing how that table has had puzzle pieces connected all around it. And like, you can sit down for dinner, and even when you're like, my dad has sat at that table, my stepdad has sat at that table, yes, my biological dad has sat, yes, at that table.
That's what love can do, Natasha. Yes. You took the words out of my mouth without reading the, y'all have to read the words that I wrote in the chapter, but Natasha took the words that I really wanted to share. Was, this is what love can do, y'all. By the world standards, there are people in my life that I should not have forgiven, that did such wrong to me that I should not have forgiven them by the world standards. And people told me that, you what? And there are people that just recently, a year and a half ago, my wedding, had huge, amazing parts in my wedding and walked me down the aisle and did these things. And we've been through some stuff. We've been through some junk, and she nailed it. Around that one table, it was my dad's table, but my biological dad has sat there. My stepdad has sat there. It belonged to my dad. And now my bonus family circles around it. And you can't tell me that that's not the good stuff of life. That's just, woo, so good.
That's amazing. And one more thing I want to say is, like, you used the term legacy living. And so I thought, what does that mean to you? What does legacy living mean to you? To me, it means it's honoring those who came before you and living intentionally to leave your own legacy. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean things. I mean, it can be things, but it's just how you live and what you leave behind and how you impact the people around you.
Mm, that's so good. I shared this with a young lady at the Love Lady where I'm going the Sunday after the book launch, which, by the way, I just have to tell you, y'all helped me raise 700 books to give away to Christian women's halfway house. We got 300 more to go because we got 421 women in there. And then we want the next 500 and something women that don't even know they're walking to the door in the next year to get a book. But anyway, I just want to say thank y'all for doing that. I saw this one time and it just resonated so deeply. Forgive your parents. They were learning too. That's number one. Secondarily, they didn't arrive broken. Something happened to them along the way. So when we hate our broken parents or broken people, if we can get to that place of grace and empathy. Now, again, that you create your boundaries and you protect yourself and all of those things. When I really began to forgive the person in my life, I dug deep and started to understand what happened to him as a little boy, what he saw, and that he was just living out and repeating, because we're going to repeat generational cycles until somebody shows us better or until we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we do as human beings. I also think sometimes God sends the message over and over and over again, the lesson, till we get it. That maybe that's just me because I'm stubborn and foolish and sassy and all the things. And so I just want to please remember this. Anybody who has a hard loved one, a hard relationship, one, if it's your parents, forgive them. They were learning too. And secondarily, people didn't arrive here broken. Something happened to them along the way. And if we can look at mean, hurt, broken, sad, addicted people that way, man, what a grace envelops us. That doesn't mean we don't have our own hurts. That doesn't mean we don't have to deal with our own stuff and process emotions and all of those things. It just means we can look at them in a brand new light with more Jesus eyes than human eyes. That's some deep stuff.
I love that. And I love that you're willing to share that.
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, you said it's not for him, it's for you. That's funny that you said that, because the whole time I was thinking God knew that need that you had in your heart, and he knew. And so that's why he healed it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, sometimes we forget to trust God. Sometimes we think we know better, and we know, and we think that we're doing what's right, and we forget that there's someone so much bigger with so many more plans and so much more knowledge than we have, and that it's not up to us to figure everything else out. We just got to worry about ourselves.
I want to say two things to that. One is, Natasha, from a faith perspective, not leaning on your own understanding, when has God ever failed you? I can't tell you any time in my life where he's failed me. Every time I've hit face first, hit rock bottom, there was a lesson there. There was a plan in it. There was a humbling. There was something, a building up. There was a coming back. There was a something like, but he's never forsaken me, and he's never failed me. Secondarily, I was speaking at a college, and I had a player who told me his father was in jail. And over the years, I've had multiple players share this with me. And I shared the same sentiment with him that I'll share with you. And this applies to people that are not in a physical jail, but hear me out on this. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, he's in jail, and, you know, and, but he's trying to reach out to me, and he's trying to, you know, but he's hurt me, and this happened, and he abandoned me when, you know, with committing this crime, blah, blah, blah. And I said, honey, forgiveness, you think it's for them, but it's really for you. It's freeing. But I said, you think he's in a physical jail with concrete walls and a bars on it. I said, but do you know he's probably in a jail cell of his mind? Every single day he's reminded that he's a failure of a father. Every single day he's reminded that he's a failure to society. Every single day he's reminded that he's incarcerated physically and probably mentally. So you, beyond being physically incarcerated, this man is incarcerated in the prison of his mind. What would your forgiveness do for him? And that doesn't mean that you got to be out fishing with him the day that he comes out of jail, but it means that you can work on forgiveness. And the other thing I want to just, you know, share, sometimes I think we have this idea of forgiveness that it's, I forgive you. Mm. And it's done. Sometimes I'm going to be real with y'all. Some of my forgiveness has taken a long time. It's taken every day going to the cross, every day saying, I'm sorry, every day saying, I forgive you, every day, years and years, years of being stubborn before you forgave somebody, years of being stubborn before you forgave yourself. I'm just going to read you the joy start. You got to read the rest of the chapter, but it says, look at your life, your gifts, your talents, your physical possessions in totality, in a much larger and longer sense. Make a list of your worldly possessions and your talents. Think long and hard. Maybe you have to keep coming back to the list for an extended period of time. Now think about how each of these things could live on beyond you. Write down your wishes for each thing and let it be known to others so people don't go squabbling after you two leave this planet. Be specific and proactive. Now sit for a moment, still and quiet, and put your hand over your heart and soul. Feel your heartbeat. And imagine all that you are and all that you have spreading out into the world like a ripple on a pond to bless others. Journal about what might come of the healing work God wants to do in your heart. How will your hard work today impact kids, grandkids, anyone else you encounter? Consider this and thank God for what he will do in the future. Bask in the pure and true joy for a moment. Now open your eyes, Joy Starter. I love you. I see you trying. Your soul is beautiful. I am proud of you.